comic, maybe you could put Sledgehammer in there.
But just the gun.
Okay, yeah.
David Rashi is just like a summon that comes in for a special attack.
He says, trust me, I know what I'm doing, grabs the gun.
And then shoots the gun.
And then shoots the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somehow it's like a 130 hit combo or whatever. Man, I gotta rewatch Sledgehammer. I've had that on DVD forever. I don't think I've watched it since I bought it on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably needed to take it in at a slower rate than I tried last time I tried. So I was just like, I'm just gonna watch all these. And after about four episodes, I was like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
For now.
I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd even heard of that show until I met you. And then you bought all those tapes on VHS from the guy who created the show.
Yep. Tell the show.
I think that dude, on Twitter, and anytime someone talks about Sledgehammer on Twitter, he kind of floats in.
Nice.
I don't mind the name searching when you're just kind of coming in to be like, hey, thanks for enjoying the show, or, you know, just liking benignly. It's when you float in to start talking shit that I, like, no, don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't tag you for a reason, man.
I was made aware of a pilot, like a TV movie that was also supposed to be kind of a, I guess like a backdoor pilot for a series, where Ray Wise is a cop named Condor.
Okay.
Or no, wait, the show is, it was called Condor, maybe it's not actually his character last name.
Maybe it was like his code name.
Yeah, and it is set in the far-flung future of 1999, and he's got a little shitty, old-timey computer thing in his car. And I don't know, they're fighting crime, but he's like, what do you mean, baby? Like, he's just like, his whole character is this really terrible LA stereotype that, like, to see Ray Wise doing it in, like, 86 or whenever it was.
Because Ray Wise was not a young man even in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, he's in his 70s now, I think.
Yeah, probably.
He's in the 80s, I don't know. But, like, yeah, that's...
So the full thing is on YouTube, and you should at least watch, like, the first 5 minutes of it to watch him order a hamburger from his car computer and then pull through a drive-thru. It is a pirate ship, and the woman hits on him, and he goes, sorry, baby, you're not my type, and drives away, and then it is revealed that the woman is actually a robot. All the while, because the fast food restaurant is pirate-themed, it is playing some kind of, like, synthy Popeye music.
Oh, man.
It is fucking some...
I gotta see
fuck,
that.
Fuck, man.
I love Ray Wise.
Uh-huh.
One of my all-time favorite character actors. That sounds amazing.
Then you need to watch... It's like an hour and a half. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine.
That feels like something to queue up on the plane ride home.
Mm-hmm. I fell into a really strange YouTube hole last night that I didn't know existed.
Just like unaired pilots or...
No, I was watching a video, Danny put up a video last night, and I was going to watch that.
Yeah.
And I hit play on it, got distracted, and only watched the first couple minutes of it or whatever, and then came back and saw the recommended videos. One of them was just explicit sex.
Okay.
And the title of the video was just a bunch of Korean. I thought, well, I should click on this. Just what the fuck is this on YouTube for? And then it was like some kind of... Like, the movie itself, it was an hour and a half long movie that opened with some kind of sex scene.
Oh.
Not porn. per se, not hardcore.
Of the softcore variety.
Yeah, some softcore variety. And then it was just a movie. It was just some Korean movie that had been uploaded that happened to start with that. But then, like,
hell of a way to kick
off. That channel and, like, a bunch of other channels that were being recommended, like, it was just, my right bar was just full of, like, close-up, explicit images of genitalia and, like, just all of these Korean videos that had been uploaded. And it was just, what the fuck is happening? What happened? What is going on YouTube?
Did they find, like, some backdoor that we don't know
about? Oh, they found a backdoor, all right.
Oh, boy.
And then when I woke up this morning, I still had the tab open with Danny's video, and I clicked on that video again, and it was all gone. All of it gone. It's like a weird glitch in the system where, like, suddenly a bunch of Korean porno leaked out. Or a bunch of Korean dramas that had sex in them.
You saw something you weren't supposed to see. And that's why that van is outside of your house right now.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, they're coming to get me because I know too much now.
Korean feds in the DJ equipment van.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my YouTube recommendations basically are nothing but Monster Factory and Kids in the Hall at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of all I watch on YouTube anymore. And like some Car Boys, because I do actually watch Car Boys.
Mm-hmm. Mine are... I don't know. I am oftentimes logged into the Giant Bomb account. So the Giant Bomb account's recommendations are pretty far out there.
Right.
And then on my own account, it is a little more reined in, I guess, because I just don't use that account ever.
Right. Yeah, I think I have 3 separate YouTube accounts tied to 3 different email addresses, and all of them have, like, scattered random videos that don't fit into any sort of coherent anything.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank Danny O'Dwyer for showing me the wonderful world of Korean drama.
Yes.
Sex drama.
Noted Korean sex drama enthusiast and expert, Danny O'Dwyer.
His video did have some kind of point to it, but that was lost in the explicit images alongside his video. A true trending gamer. I downloaded the PC version of Watch Dogs this morning, and then got a separate download. Or like ultra texture pack. I guess it's not part of the core download. You gotta download separately. It's like optimized for 4K, but I figured like I want to see what that looks like.
I mean, you got a new rig that should be able to should be able to run.
Yeah, like I don't have a 4K monitor or whatever, but like you know whatever. Downloading like a bunch of gigs of Dead Rising 4 last night and that and already being over on my stupid fucking bandwidth cap that like it just ratcheted up the dislike of Comcast, my disgust with them even more.
They're an easy company to hate for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, they make it really easy. They make it really easy.
Thought we were past this, Marin. We were past the point of traffic getting this bad.
No, it's been a fucker. It's been the
why? Happened to 4 lanes all the way, baby.
This is 4 lanes right here.
Yeah. Why didn't I fix it? I was supposed to fix it.
We need 5 lanes.
Yeah, obviously. 6 even. stack a second freeway on top of this one.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Twitch going on in my left eye for the last couple of days.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's given me... Yeah, it's just a fun new experience.
I don't get that often, but it does happen. And it's just, it's a special brand of life draining, like this specific traffic.
Yeah. Like, this is how it used to get when they were still working on those lanes.
Yeah.
They still building that rail line?
Yeah, yeah. They're, like, testing it. I'm gonna look. I'm just thinking about that. Smart train or whatever the fuck they're calling it.
It only goes to Larkspur, it's not that smart.
Yep. But I don't know how to. Yeah. It will serve a 70-mile corridor from Larkspur to Cloverdale with a first phase from San Rafael to Santa Rosa.
Cloverdale, huh?
Yeah, Cloverdale. In case you need to take a train up to where the bodies get left.
No, I'd prefer to drive.
All right.
For that. Need a sizable trunk.
Mm. And the implication is that this is, like, sort of running.
Where? When?
Okay, no, they have not. In preparation for the start of passenger service, SMART will be increasing the speeds at which trains will operate during system-wide testing. Update on SMART opening date. Let's hear it. Let's hear it, fuckers.
2018, baby.
End of 2016. That's what they say here.
That's soon.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, that's like nowish.
Yeah.
They said this in October. That it would open by the end of the year.
They have about 30
days. Never mind. No. That's their current date. This is a letter giving the recommendation of late spring 2017.
There we go.
Cummins has informed us that this failure was a result of a design flaw with the crankshaft.
I hate to see that.
A similar car in Toronto had experienced engine failure.
All we need is, like, some sort of, you know, fucking Jaws mayor-style county supervisor to walk and be like, no, I think we're gonna have to have the train start running now.
Yeah.
Just to get that good disaster movie setup going.
Yeah, looks like they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've got 10 stops that they'll have, I guess, when they first open, and then they'll open. Jeez, like the Larkspur station isn't going to be available at the first opening.
That's the whole point of the thing, is to get it to the ferry.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't know, plenty of people work in San Rafael, or, like, I think, like, so all this traffic happens when school is in.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it's College of Marin.
Can't be that many people going to College of Marin.
I can't imagine what else it could be. Because when school's out, the traffic's not bad, and all this traffic always lets up at Northgate.
Right. Huh. I guess. What do I know about fucking...
Yeah, no, I don't know. Fucking you play Civilization? Fucking draw roads in that? No.
No, you just fucking put down cities, and yeah. Your fucking traders build roads for you.
See, play City Skylines, then maybe you would know something. You'd learn a thing or two.
That came in my head hurt, and I don't mean that like in a, it was a bad game. I mean, it was just too complicated for my dumb brain.
Mm. I guess I theoretically could take this from downtown Petaluma to the Santa Rosa Airport when they open it.
And you could fly to the three places you can fly from the Santa Rosa Airport.
Yeah, but two of those three places are places that I fly to the most. So sometimes it actually works out.
I think I flew out of that airport exactly once. Something in L.A., I can't remember what it was.
It's weird, because it takes a little bit longer, and it's a little bit more expensive.
Right.
Which is just... like, hey...
Well, they can't do the bulk
operation right.
That, like, a major airport would, so I imagine that, like, their overhead is a little more fucked up. Because they don't have as many passengers and things to coming through.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is also like 20 minutes away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really...
You pay for the convenience.
You're right. I don't know. I guess I like the idea that they're opening this, if only because hopefully enough of these people will take it to make traffic less.
Yes. I'm all for it if it works. But if it doesn't, I'm not. That's the hard stance I'm taking.
Wow, that's bold of you.
Yeah. It's that kind of practical thinking that got me voted into office.
Hmm. Did we get Super Mario Maker on 3DS yet? Yes.
That seems like a thing.
It's a bad product. just, it's such a painfully misguided thing.
The train?
No, oh, Super Mario Maker for the 3DS.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it feels like a thing sort of built out of necessity without any real understanding of, like, why anyone would want that version of that game.
It seems like it's built for a world in which, like, kids still get together and all have their 3DSs, which I maybe that still happens, I don't know. But
I can count the number of 3DSs I've seen being played in public in the last year, probably, like, on both hands. That's,
yeah.
I don't see it ever.
Like, you can create a level and set it as your, like, street pass level, so yeah. If you street pass with someone else who has the game, you'll send them that level. But, like, you can't even... It has internet connectivity to, like, play collections of levels from the internet,
mm-hmm.
but you can't punch in ID numbers and pull up specific levels. It only says... It's like a slot machine, almost. Like, you pick a difficulty and hit new batch, and then it pulls up a bunch of levels. And you're like, all right. Well, here's some levels, I guess. You can't star the levels once you've played them. You can't see the course record, the X's of where people died, the Miiverse integration doesn't show up. Like, there's nothing...
Like, all the things that made that product interesting on Wii U.
Yeah, like, all the stuff that made it, like, interactive and fun.
Fuck that.
Even if it was a little weird the way they implemented some things on that version, like, this has...
It was by no means perfect, but you could do most of the things you really wanted to do with that Wii U version.
Yeah, like the editor is scaled down, there's slowdown when you're playing it. Like, if you put a bunch of shit on screen at the same time, it can't fucking handle it. That's on an original 3DS, maybe a new 3DS would be better. I salute, because it's got a faster clock speed, but yeah, it sucks.
I guess it sort of explains why they kind of snuck that thing out there.
Yeah, it is like a highly questionable product. Like, it shakes my faith. Like, Mario Maker on Wii U gave me faith that Nintendo was on the cusp of figuring out why people liked their games and, like, why people might use the internet for video games. Even if that stuff was a little weird, like, you look at it and you go like, oh, okay, well, this is awesome.
Yeah.
In spite of, like, it could have been smoother, it could have been around this, like, it's still amazing. And this makes me think that the people who made the game don't understand what was good about it.
It would be very Nintendo.
Yeah.
There was a story going around when the NES Classic launched. There was that fucking insane fervor to buy those things.
Right.
And this might have been apocryphal. It was, you know, some post on Reddit or whatever, so it might not be true, but I believe it could have been true just based on Nintendo's history. But someone from Nintendo marketing went to one of the lines where those things were being sold and was asking around, like, you know, like, doing, like, sort of polling, like, you know, hey, why are you here? Did you want to, you know, come get this thing or whatever? And the dude was really reacting in a way that made it seem like they were genuinely shocked that people were going to buy that thing in the numbers that they were.
Hmm.
Like, did not understand it, did not real. They just did not get it.
Yeah.
And it could have been bullshit, don't know, but that just feels very, like, a Nintendo thing to not know that people would want that thing.
I think the story is probably more like, hey, what if we... I don't know. I think it's a little more insidious than that. I think they deliberately short-shipped the launch to create the fervor to then fulfill it during all day shopping, though.
Yeah.
Because they restocked pretty quickly. These things still aren't easy to find.
Yeah, I mean, they're mostly still sold out.
But it's not, there have been zero units going to stores.
Yeah.
So it's probably some combination of the two. Like, they don't understand the value of what they have, but also I think they try to play it this way to make it seem like the hot holiday item. Because if that thing can sell out that week, you get all those new stories about how it's impossible to find, which then seeds the idea that, hey, if you see one, you should fucking buy it, because holy shit. So then when they have way more stock on shelves after Black Friday, once holiday shopping is in full swing, then that's when they clean up. Like, that's how you do the controlled quantity, the controlled inventory scam.
So I would also believe they, even in their attempts to short stock...
Yeah,
probably short-stocked way more than they even realized.
They probably didn't need to.
Yeah.
And, like, now I don't hear anyone talking about it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, instead, it was, like, a couple of days of people going, like, man, these prices are on eBay are already fucking natural. Fuck this.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a fleet-pulsive thing that people kind of wanted, and now it just seems like...
Like, I'm going to buy one when they're, you know, regularly available, and I can just go on Amazon and buy one for the normal price, but not until then.
And having messed with one, like, the restraints on it are so severe, I don't know that I would recommend it to people.
Like, I think I'm going to get one for my stepdad, just because he The Legend of Zelda, the original, is the only video game he's ever really liked. And I think cool for him to be able to just plug that into a TV. And...
Yeah. Yes. Like, that's the use case, you know, but... For most reasonable people, the controller cables on it are way too short. I mean, and I don't know, that stuff just seems. I mean, at least not like the Japanese version where the controllers have even shorter cables and are permanently attached to the system.
Yeah,
just like a real Famicom.
But still, they didn't have to do that.
Right.
They really didn't have to. Do
like
that.
They had the opportunity to maybe do better. Now before they start taking Switch pre-orders.
Yep. Gotta figure that's like January at the latest, right?
Yeah. I would figure they would do it. Piggybacked onto whatever their event is. Art for The Last Guardian look like something you would find in a flea market?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Like, that thing looks like a bootleg-ass copy that you would see being sold on a towel in Times Square.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking bargain basement young adult novel cover. Like, it doesn't look like a video game cover at all. Like, it's like the 17th reprinting of a bad novel.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, Team Ico cover art is always pretty sketchy, but, like, that is probably the worst one. Just, like, it just seems lazy more than anything else.
Yeah. getting it off their plate.
Yeah.
They're putting it out the door. They're moving on. They're closing the chapter. They're answering the question.
Yeah, fair enough.
In some ways, that's probably just as important as whatever the quality of the game is. To be like, no, we have to close the book on this so we can get on to something else. We have budget wrapped up in this thing that we have to fucking like
resources
get back or just lose and write off, or like we have to move on. What if they rebooted the Matrix, but instead of having old phones, everyone drove a Toyota Matrix? You know, considering it was like, that was supposed to be like a world that was permanently set in the 90s or something like that. As in, you know, humanity's happiest time or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of a time when people were happier than when they were buying the Toyota Matrix.
I mean, every single major event in human history since that time has more or less been informed by the Toyota Matrix.
Yeah. It's how we got to where we are.
I think you might be onto something here.
I'm going to see if they still make the Toyota Matrix. Because if they do, then I'm out.
Can I go get a job at Warner Brothers, fucking launch that new franchise?
Yeah.
That new old franchise.
It made it to 2013 in the USA, but there was a 2014 in Canada.
Ah.
Also called Toyota Corolla Matrix. Or I guess this is its official. It's just like a Corolla offshoot.
It's really anything like a Corolla.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just like the same engine and shit.
Apparently it is damn near identical to the Pontiac Vibe.
Mm. Alright, well, we'll launch our new film franchise, The Vibe.
Uh-huh, okay. Alright, I like that. Are they still making Pontiac Vibes? Probably not.
Do they still make Pontiacs?
Sure. Okay, the Vibe stopped in 2010. Fate. That's a good Wikipedia fucking, like, data point.
Yeah.
Type. Industry. Fate. Successor. Founded. Defunct. Yeah, 2010. Key people. Seaman Bunky Knudsen and John DeLorean. Oh, right.
Is John DeLorean still alive?
He has to be. No.
Yeah, I thought he died.
2005. DeLorean had over 59 pounds of coke in a hotel near LAX.
Yeah. Yeah, the story of John DeLorean is one of the great stories of capitalist excess and downfall.
I mean, yeah, it looks like, I mean, since, like, it's still technically a registered trademark of GM, but when GM went through Chapter 11, they reorged and got rid of Pontiac at that point.
Yeah, it was, like, never their most successful brand anyway. imagine consolidating. It's just like, why do we need this anymore?
Sure. From 2002 to 2004, a rebadged right-hand drive variant of the Vibe was exported as the Toyota Voltz in Japan. V-O-L-T-Z.
I knew it had to be a Z.
Japanese car names are way better.
Yep. The Japanese, a lot of things are way better.
I was really obsessed. There was a few years there that I was really obsessed with the idea of importing a right-hand drive car.
Just getting like a Fairlady Z.
Yeah.
I tried to explain to Sam when I was playing, I don't know, some driving game, probably one of the Forza games, that the Fairlady Z is a fairly famous car in Japan and a well, you know, regarded one. She's like, that's the ugliest piece of shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, kinda.
It's not a great-looking car.
It depends on the year, because like those things are basically like the 370Z
right
here, which I, when I was looking at cars, I sat in the 370Z before realizing that that whole car is like, you think the fucking ceiling in this car is low.
Yeah, like, that's a low car.
Like that car would have given me like a hunchback or spinal problems, or you know. Like, I got in it and was like, this is a nice, a neat-looking car. I would love to buy this car and then drift a bunch.
Right.
But yeah, no, I just, way too tall. Way too tall for that.
She also hates spoilers on cars, no matter what. Like, any car with a spoiler, she's like, that's dumb. Don't have that.
Kind of with that.
Yeah.
There are some cars where I think they look worse if you go with the spoiler delete option, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of glad I went with a smaller spoiler on mine than the, like, big, boxy one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like as a kid I was all about fucking gigantic spoilers on like that type of sloping rear-ended sports car, like Jazz, the Transformer.
Yes.
It's a good looking spoiler.
Sure.
Like that dented up Sentra. If you put a fucking big spoiler on that, I'd be all for it.
I will say I am very much in favor of putting giant spoilers on cars that definitely don't need it.
Yeah.
Or definitely
yeah.
doesn't belong.
Like a pickup truck?
Yeah. Like a Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
raided that Best Buy.
What used to be Best Buy.
Well, yeah. They painted over the fucking Best Buy building colors and the faded paint, or the less faded paint where the fucking sign used to be.
Finally getting ready to put a Rent-A-Center in there.
Yeah, something nice.
Rent me up some couches.
At this point, I would just like there for there to be more variety in, like, electric cars and hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, somewhat performance variety. Like, I don't really want a Tesla.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's still kind of gaining its foothold right now.
Yeah.
Like, the hybrids, not so much, but, like, the full electric.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, a good, fast, clean car.
Yeah, I think it'll get there soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be competition for the Teslas eventually, I'm sure. But more variety in body styles and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's admittedly a... I don't know, I guess it's a minor point in the grand scheme of why you would be buying one of those things.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't like the looks of Teslas.
I really don't, enough. Yeah. Like, I think they're... tech package and the all the dash stuff is really neat.
Yeah.
And, like, the performance is cool and all that, but just the body, I just don't like
it. Those things have gotten relatively affordable at this point, right?
They've got another model that's like that they took pre-orders for.
Like, they're still pricey.
It is far more affordable than what they've done. And I actually think that car looks okay.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, whatever the standard Roadster is or whatever it is. But, yeah, like, that Tesla 3 is going to be, like, $35,000.
Right.
So, like, that's totally reasonable for a car. But... I don't know. Sometimes I drive to LA also, so I don't know. Because I would just have to always rent a car.
But what's the current charge life? The
range? You know, it might be close.
I mean, I'm probably at least a few years away from buying a new car again anyway.
Yeah, I mean, do you even need one?
Yeah.
Like
my car still runs fine. I drive it infrequently. Not never, but infrequently.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly happy to just kind of keep riding that thing for as long as I need to.
But the 3, the new model, will go 215 miles per charge.
If they can get it to, like, the 300 range, I feel like they would have something.
Find a fancy grocery store every 200 miles, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the drive between here and LA is truck stops.
Yeah.
So, if the car ran on diesel, you'd be good.
If I could feed this car NASCAR jackets.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be great.
Dump NASCAR jackets into the gas tank. Yeah, this Model 3 comes out right around the time the lease on my current car is up. And I don't know. I have been planning to definitely keep that car. But I guess I might look around and see if there are any cheaper cars that would be basically right around what my payoff price for the rest of that car is. Because, you know, same difference at that point. I just don't know what my, like, mile overage rate on that lease is. Because I'm way the fuck over it.
Yeah. Realizing I've had my car for like 11 years now.
Yeah, you've had the car forever.
End of 2005, I think, is when I got it. Yeah, it still runs great. I had a couple of weird issues where like I started having like leaks in my trunk.
Oh, yeah. Delivery estimate for new reservations on this new Tesla is mid-2018.
Well,
production begins mid-2017. So yeah, they launched it and took pre-orders.
Right.
Like, imagine that, man.
I'm gonna wait.
Fucking walk into a dealer and go, oh, did you pre-order? Oh, geez, sorry. Yeah, no. Do I get an extra fucking skin for the car if I pre-order?
Get the full season pass.
I guess I'm more looking forward to the idea of, like, when kind of, at least around, you know, major cities and stuff like that, we'll get closer and closer to that time when people don't need to own a car.
Right.
Because, like, the self-driving fleet of cars will show up at your house, drive as needed. Be driven by robots, whatever it is.
Johnny Cabs.
Yeah.
The thing that concerns me about the self-driving stuff is less the, the dangers of, you know, AI-driven cars, because it feels like they've gotten at least to a decent point where that stuff isn't, like, constantly breaking.
Right.
It's more just the sudden influx of unused labor that's going to cause when, you know, Uber replaces all their drivers and fucking truck companies start doing that.
Yeah, like that news story about, like, hey, we just trucked a bunch of beer in a fucking robot across country. Like, oh, well, like, that's going to be a lot of people out of work.
The number one profession in, like, half the states in the union, if not more, is truck driver.
Right.
And it's going to be a thing.
I mean, this has been coming for so long in so many different ways, because I've been looking at it more from the angle of, like, oh, well, when every single, and they're out there now, but, like, when every single fast food place has touch screens for ordering, like, that's a group of people that no longer have jobs.
Right.
That's...
Yeah, the preparation still is done, but at some point, when does that become automated, too?
Yeah, right, right. You know, is everyone going to have to be retrained to be robot repair people?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, then what's the actual cost savings of the fucking robots? So, yeah, that was one of the, like, more, well, of the fucking zillion things, like, pick one or whatever, right?
Right.
But, like, of the things around this election cycle that made me the maddest, it was the idea of, like, hey, we need to build things in America. It's like, we're not losing out to Chinese labor, we're losing out to Chinese robots.
Yep. And on top of that, like, just the sheer gall of saying you're going to bring back these manufacturing jobs that haven't existed for, like, 30 years.
Yeah, like, that's a beautiful dream, but also, like, that's not where anything is heading. And at some point, like, are you going to ask corporations to, hey, think of the people instead of your profits? Like, no, that has not happened up to this point. Unless you incentivize the shit out of employing humans over machines, they have negative incentive to do that as this shift starts to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, I mean, if you want to also fucking have the fucking Watch Dogs end of shit, like, at some point you will be telling those corporations exactly where you're driving and when, because they will be sending the robot cars to your house.
Right.
Like, that, that end of things is...
its own spectacular mess.
No, yeah, I mean, the number of fucking nightmares we are... Like, the number of incredibly convenient, world-destroying nightmares we're waltzing into right now is really something.
Yeah, might as well just sit back and watch.
Totally, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, you know, this will be the tumultuous time that you want to hope on the other end of it is something that is like a half step closer to that Star Trek utopia where, oh, now we don't have to work because we've figured that part out. And now we can devote ourselves to more noble pursuits.
The part no one mentions like when talking about
constant masturbation.
Yes. The part no one mentions when talking about that future, though, is that in the Star Trek universe, to get there, they had to have a nuclear war that killed 2 billion people first.
Totally, right. No, that's... Yeah. Like I'm saying, things will get a little bit worse before they get there.
A little dicey. The hell of a toboggan ride.
Yeah, that was one of those things that, like, it was only, like, as I really started to embrace adulthood in a specific way over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, that I realized that my long-term dream of wanting robots to take my fast food order because people keep putting fucking mayonnaise on shit had fucking very real-world consequences.
Yes.
It's like, oh, that's actually, like this... Ooh, how do we responsibly get to this future?
Yes.
Is the real question.
And I mean, the answer to that is, you know, building around social programs and, you know, basic standards of living to where you can sort of eliminate, you know, the just sort of abject poverty that sort of comes with joblessness, you know, especially when entire industries fucking just decide, nope, no more human workers. But that doesn't seem to be the direction we're heading in right now.
Right.
Kind of the polar opposite.
Yeah. It seemed like there was a window there. I think, you know, like, I think the reality of that stuff will hit people hard one way or the other.
Yeah.
Even if people had seen it coming, it would have certainly been rough.
Oh, yeah. It was always going to be a bumpy ride. It's just that, you know, the fact that we're not even steering into the skid right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, over the last year, seeing people start to talk about, like, well, what if we actually started paying people, like, minimum, like, a specific stipend?
Yeah.
Like, a basic income.
Sounds like Canada is starting to move toward doing that now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, and the thing I always, you always hear when you talk about that is, like, well, people just won't have motivation to work, and it's like... Well, no, because I think lots of people do have motivation to work when it's, you know, fulfilling. Like, and the basic standard of living isn't just replacing a, you know, a high salary or, you know, an actual job that you care about and love doing. It just means that, you know, if you are unable to work or simply just aren't in a situation where you can work, you are able to eat and have a place to live.
Yeah, you're able to exist, which is, like, cheaper than the alternative in the grand scheme of things. Like, you know, giving people proper mental health services is a lot cheaper than having them out on the streets criming it up
and being
unchecked and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like, and also just, like, hey, how about some, like, basic fucking human dignity?
Yep.
And not, like, a lot of it is temporary. Like, in at the scale we'd be talking about, mm-hmm. like, it is to cover for people who were trained to do a job that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So you pull that out one or two generations, like, that problem doesn't exist anymore because no one is being trained to work in those jobs anymore.
Right.
Because those jobs don't exist. So you've got people training for whatever the current jobs are.
Right.
YouTube celebrity, you know, the important
yes.
shit.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet my first person who majored in YouTube. I'm a Snapchat major.
Ooh. Can you teach me how to use those filters?
I guess.
Sweet. It's all so intensely complicated, and none of the answers are perfect on their own.
No. And I think anyone who claims that they have the perfect answer for how this all should work should be treated as if they are full of shit.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of people and a lot more coherence and cohesion in
and
society.
Probably a lot of different solutions, different sized solutions for different problems. You know, like, it can't just be a universal basic income on its own, because that doesn't actually solve anything.
No.
If you give people X number of dollars, bare minimum, then you can count on everyone ensuring that a lot of stuff costs just beyond that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, different situation. I mean, if you still have things like Social Security and Medicare and all of that, you know, like, the basic income for someone who has those benefits doesn't have to be the same as someone who is, you know, disabled but working age.
Sure, sure.
Like, there's a lot of room for sort of nuance within that. It just, someone actually has to go and plan these things out and work on this shit. But again, it doesn't feel like the direction we're heading in right now.
Yeah, and also, I think it's, like, regardless of what direction we'd be heading in, I think that's a tough sell to the American people,
yes.
specifically, because that sounds so much like socialism.
It is socialism.
On account of it being actual socialism.
Yeah. I mean, it's democratic socialism.
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's not full communism. But.
Yeah.
But that's always the thing, though, is that, like, you know, there are tenets and ideas within socialism that I think are extremely good things for a society.
I think it's stuff that, like, I think we have to look at the solutions that fit the problems of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those solutions, I think, make at least some sense for the problems of our time.
Yes.
And it's not about, like, is it this, is it that? Like, you know, you kind of have to be able to pull from everywhere and try to do right by the citizens of the nation and the world where you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, shutting off lines of thought specifically because it's part of some specific mindset just seems like a good way to kind of fuck yourself into the dirt.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is that we've spent so long. And I mean, look, it's not like there have been a lot of, you know, extremely great examples of socialist states, you know, doing well over the years. There have been positives, but also there have been things like the Soviet Union. And
right,
fucking
totally, yeah. Man.
But, you know, you look at, like, the Scandinavian model for a lot of that stuff, and you know, those systems of government seem to work pretty well for those countries. And I think that, you know, while they have smaller populations and therefore, you know, different, you know, like, they can't apply stuff on the same scale that we would have to, there are ideas that could be taken from those kinds of government systems that could be implemented in something like what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But yeah, you know, instead it feels like that there's just a whole group of people that kind of wants to pretend none of that's happening,
yeah.
that none of the automation is happening, and that it's not going to like blindside millions of people and punch them right in the job.
Like, I see TV ads for Uber right now, like, you know, promoting their whole, right. I can work when I want,
there's
it's
a,
great.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's a kiosk in the fucking mall in Santa Rosa. It's like, do you want to make $600 this weekend? Which is like a great, sleazy,
yep.
like, perfect ad for that service.
Yeah, that's what pimps say when they approach women in bars.
Totally. And there are always two dudes there standing in front of the counter, leaning against it. Because no one is coming up and talking to them. And
yep.
they look unsavory.
Yep. It's like, you know, the right hand is saying this, meanwhile they're building out their fucking automated fleet. And
right,
it's like,
yeah. Like, that's... And, like, I think that that's, like... And the problem, like, the worst problem of it all is it's actually a pretty good product.
Yeah, the idea behind it
yeah.
is not a terrible thing. Like, the... You know, I think that they're... moves into places that have heavily regulated, you know, cab industries, like, I think the way they went about it was pretty fucked,
yep.
but at the same time, the inherent idea behind allowing people to work using, you know, ideally, tools they already have at their disposal is good. It's just the shit that they do, like, you know, the fucking predatory leases they throw on people who, like, want
right,
to
get
a car
from
to go with
them.
Them.
And, yeah, yeah, that's rough.
Just everything about that company seems like maximum scum.
And then they'll steamroll the cab industry, you know, which I have.
Yeah, the cab industry is its own
fucked up thing, like, you know.
Like, the New York is the one place I will say I think does it well. Like, yeah, the fucking medallions are insanely expensive and whatever, but, like, they regulate it well. And I feel like, you know, like, everything about it works the way it's supposed to. I can't say that in too many other cities.
Mm.
Like, especially, like, L.A., for instance. Like, L.A.'s whole cab thing seems just like a complete nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, like, cabs in this city are hit and miss. But also, like, you know, Uber's no fucking cakewalk either.
No.
Like, oh, I called one, and I was on a one-way street, and then they, like, fucking took 20 minutes and then just canceled because there was a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Like, the incentives... for actually doing the job and completing the ride at some point. If it's hard to get to the ride and get to the money, it's easier for them to cancel it and leave you hanging.
Yep.
And yeah, it's whatever. Everything is fucked. But everything is not as fucked
yeah.
as it could be. And in some cases, might very well be. There's a way through all this stuff, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
There is a way to navigate all this stuff and come out the other end being okay. It just doesn't... But that none of that shit happens overnight. None of it happens automatically. Like, everyone has to be working towards it.
And mm-hmm.
That's not...
And right at this moment,
that's
not
happening. That's not happening. Like, I rode in enough taxis in the Boston area and had them deliberately fuck me on, like, credit cards or, you know, like, whatever other stuff they...
Claiming their credit card
machine's
broken.
Like, oh, the machine's broken. Or, like, I rode in a cab in... Where was it? Where was I? It was when I was in New York. out seeing you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy had a credit card machine in the cab, but when it came time to pay him, he pulled out an iPad with a square on it. And ran it through that. And the receipt said, like, whatever, cab company, all this other stuff, so maybe it's on the up and up. Like, ultimately, I don't give a fuck.
Some of them do that, like, that's their backup option if their machine actually is broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the regulations are extremely tight for that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they have to have credit cards working somehow.
Yeah, so maybe it was just that. But it was definitely, like, a shady moment of just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This dude got his own fucking iPad, and he's just like, yo, fucking, I'm just gonna, like, punch this meter in the meter and then charge you this way. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jump over this truck.
Next time.
Alright.
I don't think this Volkswagen has quite the horsepower we need for that.
Every time I see these new, old California license plates, but they brought back the black plates, I think about going and getting new plates.
I don't really like them. I didn't like the old ones, and I don't really like the new ones either.
Mm. To me, the classic California plates are still the blue ones.
Yeah, totally.
But they don't, I don't know that you can get those now.
No, you couldn't even get them when I, like, when I was still living here.
Yeah. Like, my first car, I had those blue plates.
The Nova?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that car? Did you sell it to someone, or...?
Well, I mean, I totaled the first one, and then, the second one was all fucked up. Anyway, the last Nova I was driving, we sold to Chuck's little brother.
Okay.
And it is now sitting in that driveway, his mom's driveway, under a cover. I don't think it's under a cover, but the thing is just rusted out, and it's all fucked up now. Like, it's... But still, every time I see it, there's part of me that goes like, man, I should buy that car back.
But I get it pretty cheap now.
Yeah, and then I remember, oh wait, that car is actually a complete piece of shit. Like, if I actually wanted a fucking 69 Nova, it would be smarter to go out and buy one elsewhere than it would be to put more money into that one, because we put a lot into that one, and it was still never quite what the one I totaled was.
Right.
Maybe get a kitten.
dumb diggy. Off diggy to the landlady, holler, get a haircut, hippie. The death knell, generator, entertain a fresh kill, breath quill, dressed like a bloated second dead cell, shedding purple tape, purple hawk gape, a single flower through the permafrost, pick himself and learn, I walk in furry pants. I get the impression that New York is not as covered in weirdo fucking app delivery services and stuff like that as we are here, considering all of it is invented here.
I mean, we get stuff, you know, like the food delivery apps and such.
Yeah.
You know, Uber is out there, but yeah, it's definitely not as prevalent.
To me, the point where it started to like cross over into stuff where I was like, this seems like too much. And this seems like a class of services designed to hide the fact that all the people who live here need a replacement for their mom because they're all a bunch of fucking way too young tech millionaires. It was like the laundry services of like, use app to get people to pick up your laundry.
Laundry is the easiest fucking thing in the world to do at this stage of human existence.
Yeah, and it was the fucking dudes on Razor scooters and Blue Jackets who meet you at your car and deliver it to the... It's like I was talking about this the other day. It's like valet for... Like, they meet you in your car, pick it up, drive it away somewhere, and when you need it, you tell them, and they bring it to you, and then they scoot away on their Razor scooter. Like, that was the thing. Like, seeing that in action, seeing that transaction take place was, like, a real, just like, man, fuck.
That is infuriating on a few different levels.
Yeah. Don't make them raise the gate between the betas and a spectacle displaying the nature of strange neighbors. I paint caves till the rage campaign tapers. Show a new crop, never use the moonwalk. Out of breath like a 7-day-old balloon dog. Though I guess you can get weed delivered through apps now, so...
There is that.
There is, you know...
I mean, look... Delivery service is not an inherently bad thing.
No, definitely not. Don't need it. Yeah, no, I don't want to leave my house ever. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, 1,000%. Like... But there is something about people trying to create brands and services and apps and stuff like that specific to that sort of stuff. And trying to be as cutesy as they possibly can with it. With the way they name everything and brand everything and all that, that does make it seem a little more nightmarish.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old notion that at this point people are just trying to solve problems that actually don't exist instead of the actual problems we do have.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to try and invent problems to solve with, you know, fucking stupid app delivery services than it is to actually deal with any of the larger issues.
Yeah. I was reading, someone sent me a story after we talked about it on the podcast. I guess someone hacked the guy who hacked Muni.
Oh.
Since that email address was just listed on all those screens, someone broke into that dude's email address, broke into his email, found that he'd been rotating Bitcoin wallets, but it looked like he had pulled about $140,000 overall from various construction companies and stuff like that that were getting hacked in the same way.
Wow.
And found notes, like, written in Farsi. Some other stuff. Like, the guy just had a weak security question, like, mother's maiden name type thing, and they got in and...
Who hacks the hackers?
Yeah, right? All of these incredibly modern problems and situations are, like, fucking still kind of amazing to me. Even when they are totally fucked, there is part of me that just sits back and goes, like, man, wow.
Yep.
what the fuck are we now? This is so crazy. Reminds me, I Amazon primed those sunglasses and they didn't show up. Sometimes I feel my heart beat you flying inside my body. From diarrhea dark to piety in the posse. On my better days, they mingle and walk off into the poppy. On my worst, the work is overshadowed by the Monty. Hit by some clothes that fit me. I pretend I'm like a Gabi with a promise to his Congress not to compromise the motley in him. Maybe I should kind of sort of move to Mars. I'm feeling kind of done. Too many moving parts. The piss poor vision is 40% loners. The kitchen is a chorus of glorious leftovers. The friends you confessed all the dark shit to it. Weaponize the information before we can send roses. And then what a little pearl on how we got to where we at. I can't remember where I am. I feel it's probably a trap. Walk with the lawless. Caught in his notes. Walk on even when the walls hug us.
There, folks. We're here.
All right. Yeah. See y'all later. This guy.
Mm-hmm.